How come it became winter in
10 minutes?
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just one day, it was, I mean, 1 minute it wasn't,
yeah.
And then the next minute it was. I just don't know. What should we look at?
So life has provided an opportunity for me to look at stress.
To look at stress?
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah. And I mean, it's interesting it should come at this moment because I'm sort of looking at, you know, what do the voices say to you? You know, what is it that you believe that causes stress? And I'm not clear on this because this has just sort of happened, so this is a great opportunity to get facilitated on it. And I want to say, interestingly, just something I did notice. But so I came from the car, and it's, all this stuff is bubbling up. But as I walked by the garden, I thought about the greens we've got going.
You thought about
the greens in the garden?
Oh.
And it just evaporated for a moment. It's just so interesting.
Uh-huh.
Just when I noticed that. Then I passed the garden and got back in.
Yeah, we're able to get right back into it.
But so what has got me all turned up is that I've been involved in a group that for 13 years has been working to try to work with the county toward a good general plan. And the Board of Supervisors just adopted a bad general plan. In our view, it's a bad general plan.
Mm-hmm.
Not legally compatible with that. And so that's frustrating in itself. And our particular group has literally worked for 13 years with multiple boards of supervisors and planning directors and all of people trying to say, here are the sort of basics you need. And basically, over time, more and more and more just kind of gotten blown off. So, at least that's the experience of it. And so the board just adopted this general plan unanimously, and people were really excited because what most people just know is it's been going on forever, and now we finally have it. So I mean, there's a lot of feeling of thank God it's over. But we are aware that it's not a very good document, really, and have made numerous suggestions that, in our view, would make it better. So that's one level of it. But the second level was I read today the comments of the chair of the board. And the kind of comments he made about people who are still in opposition, and they felt dismissive and as though what's motivating us is kind of malevolent. That's my projection.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wound up, you know, because I know the kind of effort and the kind of integrity that's been brought into this, and so I'm just looking at, so what is the trend, you know, besides disappointment. And so part of what I'm seeing is that in my system, the sense of being misrepresented is very tough.
Mm-hmm.
And misunderstood, you know. And there's a whole thing too about fairness, is that what you said was unfair. And I hate that, you know. It's part of it is what's ripped his face off.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm clear that it's not time to respond in any way, but it's just trying to look at that. And I'm not particularly necessarily relating it to being a five at this moment, but I sure see those. They're familiar patterns. That sense of this is unfair, and I'm being seen unfairly, and what somebody is saying is misrepresenting, and I don't know what to do about that, and just feels like there's a whole lot of ego up. And also that there is some basis for disappointment.
Mm-hmm. So I need to go back a little bit. So the county has been moving in this particular direction.
Mm-hmm.
And a group of folks have been trying to influence that. Mm-hmm. So that it doesn't go so much
yeah.
in that direction. Now it has gone in that direction. And the piece I didn't understand was everybody being happy about that, or was it just that the fight is over, that something has been decided?
Yes. So our little group has been working, really following this whole process for 13 years. Most people aren't. You know, they just know that there's this general plan thing and it's got to get done. And somehow it's done. And that's as much as most people know. And so if I were in their shoes, I'd feel good about it too. You know, finally.
Uh-huh.
But it's not well done.
Uh-huh.
We started out with great promise, and it's just been shaved away and shaved away and shaved away and shaved away. So it's been a disillusioning process.
Mm-hmm.
But there was still some hope that we might be able to cause a change.
And so what do you know or project is the point of the winners basically needing to have some public statement about the people who were not wholeheartedly supportive of this?
Well, I think, first of all, the group that we've been working with is probably going to sue. So that's
I see.
So then the people who are going to sue are just trying to bankrupt the county. And actually, all we're trying to do is get them to get it legal, to meet the basic legal requirements, which they just have not done. But I think also, in a sense, they are the winners at this. It's taken years, and now we have this decision. And I think it's like, okay, now everybody, we're going to clear the decks and get out of the way. And if you have any issues, just work with us. Well, we've been working with them for 13 years,
mm-hmm.
and this is where we are. So that feels like sort of the misrepresented part. If you people would just...
Yeah, we haven't been working together. You people have been working against us and now go away because we won. And besides, if you're going to sue us, we need to make it pretty clear that you are evildoers who are just trying to whatever it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's my projection.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that is true at the moment is all the supervisors, with one exception, all the supervisors who just passed it, none of them were on board 13 years ago. None of them kind of have followed this whole trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in a way, it's our disadvantage that we have, because we know what it might have been.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I'm just watching what wiles me, and seeing this is very helpful for the assignment.
Mm-hmm.
I know that stuff like feeling misunderstood and misrepresented are very karmic. I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
And feeling like there's nothing particularly one can do about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just tough for the system.
Yeah, especially when it feels like 13 years of effort has gone into being the right person, trying to do the right thing, and then that gets all put under the heading of evildoers. Yeah.
Perceptionist, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the things that I was looking at recently, and I think it was because of the issue of communication, is the belief that a lot of people seem to hold that if I could make you understand me,
right,
you would agree with me.
Right.
And
because I'm right.
Well, yes, of course. Yes, which is why it's so important that you understand me and realize that, in fact, you're wrong and I'm right. Yeah, and that it's just so awful to be in that position. Because when we're the winners, it's easy not to have that an awareness or a particular sensitivity to being in that position.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It just seems to kind of be the nature of the, how we are.
Yeah.
And of course we're seeing that in our country now.
And that's the backdrop, of course.
Yeah, so dramatically that people, it's kind of, well, where does everybody go with this? Because, how do you, it doesn't fall into any categories that we've been taught.
Right.
Are the categories.
Yeah.
You know, and so are all the people who disagree with us just wrong and stupid and liars? Because both sides feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And who could say? I mean, do people really believe what they're saying? Do these folks really think this is best for the county? Or might what's best for me be also coincidentally best for the county?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's just no knowing, really.
There isn't. And so we're left with where you are, which is, boy, I hate this,
mm-hmm.
and I take it really hard,
mm-hmm.
and there's really nothing to be done about it.
Right, and what I want you to come up to is, when you also mentioned systems, all the systems seem to be up in the air, which they do seem to be, you know, for a five, that's what fives do, is they make systems, so that's mm-hmm. also hard. But, what was I going to say? I was going to say something.
It'll be there.
Yeah, I think just sitting with it and knowing there isn't any place in particular to go with it.
Right, because in fact, what we do have to get to is it's all absolutely made up.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reality to any of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where would we start with something? You know, we have something like a county plan, which is based on there being a county,
mm-hmm.
which is completely made up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody drew lines and said, there, we have a county.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody who lives there lives in that county, and everybody who lives there lives in that county. And from there, we go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then what do I want for my county? What do you want for your county?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do I want in my house? And what do you want in your house? And those are not going to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to live in your house, and you don't want to live in my house.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow, we're supposed to live together in the same county.
Mm-hmm.
Now, multiply us by...
Right.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And there isn't... And so, of course, what we do is we try to band together. We try to find the people who at least live in similar houses. Right? And we all... try to make happen what we want to have happen, which those people just hate.
Right.
And they're trying to make happen what they want to happen, and we just hate it.
Right.
And
yeah, I wish there was some way we could do it without being hateful. You know, it's a little hateful what he was saying today.
Oh.
But the other thing I was going to say was I noticed what the condition messages will just drop out. Just forget it.
Mm-hmm. And just give up.
Quit. Give up, yeah. Which doesn't, I'm not going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched, that's one solution, one of the bad options.
The two bad choices. Yeah. Well, and of course, you know, from an awareness practice perspective, it seems to me, the ideal would be to realize that the whole thing is made up. And that all we really ever have an opportunity for is to see where the suffering is in it for us,
mm-hmm.
have that revealed, and then work on letting go that which is causing our suffering, knowing that issues are never going to be resolved.
Mm-hmm. That's why they're issues.
Yeah, and they never have been. I think with Cain and Abel, it didn't go well. Right? And they go back about as far as human beings go that we know of. So can I do what I want to do because I want to do it because it's important to me, not because I think it's going to lead anywhere or get anything,
mm-hmm.
But just because it's important to me that I do what's important to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's really fun that that came up because I have been really seeing lately how I feel like as, in particular, residents of the monastic environment in the way that we practice, we have an extraordinary opportunity to work with what that whole conversation was sort of about, it feels like. Because it, at least for me,
people live in your house.
In my house. Yes. And they don't do things the way I do them.
No, they don't.
They do them the wrong way.
Well, I would not have gone that far.
I could see
how you were thinking.
Sherry agreed with me. But I just, by some grace of, I don't even know what, I mean, yeah, practice, that's what the grace is. But it's, I really, really have been seeing how, I mean, I don't know if anyone else on the planet has this particular opportunity. Maybe other people do, I don't know. But to be, as, again, just for me at least, a human being who has every single impulse, as far as I can tell, that every other human being on the planet has. And all the nuances of that. Like, I was just watching today that one of, it's not just wanting to be right, it's wanting to be right with these people agreeing with me that that those people are wrong. And what I watch is, I've seen this in my family, I've seen it in, that if you watch, well, if I watch, say, this person, for example, the only allegiance is to the voice.
Yes.
So it's completely willing to, in this case, I'll side with these three people and really said, these are my people against those people. Yeah, well, actually, no. In this, like, they're not. So I'll side over here with these people, and these are really my people against those people. But the only allegiance is to that, to hold myself, which is to the voice.
Yes. Yeah. Just to underline that, mm-hmm. It is definitely not to yourself.
No, not to the human being.
It
at
is
all.
Definitely.
At all.
Only to the voice.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, it feels like the only point of all of it is divide and conquer, which is, you know, it's the opposite of, is it Lao Tzu says, if you want peace in the world, you need peace in mind, you need peace, and it comes back to peace in the heart. And so, you know, the way to conquer people is to divide, right? And so that also starts here. Divide this against itself, you know, however you talk about that. And for all of that to play out, it has to play out if you're going to, like, those human impulses, it seems like, have to play out in the sense that they do play out, I guess. I mean, if you've seen beyond it, I guess they wouldn't play out, but so they will play out. In other words, they'll find things to plug into all of those processes. And to have that happen in the privileged environment where it can't get played out externally in the way that makes it feel real, even though it still does feel real all the time. But I guess what I'm saying is, if we truly, yeah,
well, if you're able to see it,
yeah,
that's the difference.
Yeah.
You know, if you're wrong, and I know you're wrong, and I can't let you know that I know you're wrong,
exactly. Yeah.
I'm left with it.
Yes, exactly.
And then at some point, I'm going to have to deal with it.
Yeah.
If that equation remains.
If that equation remains.
That we stay in that relationship.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And which is why most people don't want to do it.
No.
Right? Because it's, as you say, I would go to find other people that I can tell them what's wrong with them.
Exactly.
And be right.
Yeah.
Because with that, I'm left feeling wrong. Yeah. Which is really wrong. Because I'm actually right.
Yeah, exactly.
And yet, I have to eventually face the fact that this whole issue is mine.
Yes.
It actually doesn't have anything to do with you.
Yes.
And that's the beauty, to me, of monastic practice.
Yes, exactly. And that it happens over and over and over and over. And I feel like there can become this attitude of mind of like, okay, wait, do that again, do that again. Wait, do that again.
And blessedly they will.
they're
so good like that.
Yeah, I mean, and truly. And it just, it just wears itself out. Like little tiny things get seen. And it's like a, I don't know, whatever the image is, an etching or, the dots get poked or whatever. But I don't know, it's just, it's extraordinary. I just keep thinking, I'm sure it's just going off on a thing, but my God, like write the book or do the something, because just the opportunity I feel like we have truly to sit with all of it and to actually get to the bottom of it, not because I feel like what happens for me is like, oh, okay, well, let's get everyone to right? I mean, my faith, okay, you know what, we just need everyone to just, okay, just let me just write an email. If we can all, can we all just please, right? and it's not to say there isn't a place for that, and, you know, great, you know, whatever, helpful that, you know, we're all not paying attention to whatever, but it's just, I don't know the opportunity that it is.
Yes, well, to me, you know, it comes down to something very basic, mm-hmm. and you basically covered it all, right? The only thing that's going on mm-hmm. is what we call egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, playing out in a human head. Mm-hmm. That's it. Now, there's a lot of running around and doing a lot of other stuff and engaging with this and going there and trying to make it be something outside, but that's all that's ever going on.
Yeah.
And if the next piece of it that you said, if we get that the whole point of that is to control one thing, and that is the human being whose head it's operating in, that's it. It'll say anything, do anything. Whatever is going to get the attention that belongs to that human being. So here's the human being as an expression of life, the intelligence that animates, whatever program you like for explaining what that is. And then there is the ability, the unique ability that human beings have to experience themselves as separate. Mm-hmm. So attention can leave here, mm-hmm. where all of this is happening, mm-hmm. and can go out mm-hmm. into this imaginary world where there are all these people and things and mm-hmm. stuff and mm-hmm. all of that, mm-hmm. and fail to notice mm-hmm. that in that imaginary world is an imaginary person I call me. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's an imaginary all of you, an imaginary all of them, an imaginary me. But I don't experience it that way. Mm. Okay? I don't experience it that way. Mm. And so when I bring attention back here, mm-hmm. then for people who practice, there is for a split second, for a little longer, for whatever amount of time it is, you're here,
yeah.
and there's nothing wrong. Yeah. That whole imaginary world falls apart. Yeah. All those people go away. All those situations, all those everything go away, and there's just here, just alive, just awareness being. Whoosh! Comes the whole big world with, wow! Usually, I think most worlds are created with, well, what about? And then we come back in, and there's no issue. So and then we're dragged out again.
Yes.
Because that ego, that mind that is able to do that feeds on that attention.
Yes.
And it doesn't exist when we're here. So if we can get that, that simple, basic premise, then we actually don't need to entertain all that other stuff. Mm. Because this is to me, the most fun piece of it. Mm-hmm. All of you are figments of my imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know that. You're all my projections. Just as I and everyone else are figments of yours. Figments of yours. Figments of yours. And figments, right? So each of us has this egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate system going that creates this entire universe that is only each one of us. Everything in this universe is me, because they're all my projections. They're all my opinions. They're all my beliefs. They're all my assumptions. There's nothing that exists in this universe that is not of my creation. Can you get a sense of that for yourself? I mean, where is something that, you know, somebody walks through the door? Who made them up? The people say, well, yeah, there's somebody really there. Well, technically, we don't know that. All right, in my mind, there is. Yeah. Maybe in somebody else's mind, there isn't. But I don't want to argue about that. Yeah. It's what that person is, yeah. How they look, how they seem, how I feel about them, what I think about them. Do I like them? Do they seem like a nice person, not a nice person? Are they attractive? Do they seem intelligent? That's all me. I'm making all that up.
It really speaks to why we want to get with other people so that we can get corroboration on that.
That's exactly right. But not too much with other people. Because if you talk too long, you'll realize don't actually agree with them.
Oh, completely.
Yeah, and then that's a bad moment.
Yeah.
Which is what you said. Yeah. Then I just have to go find another group of because these people agree with me about this.
Yes.
But they don't agree with me about that. So I'll go to that group of people because they'll agree with me about that. And they'll reinforce that. And that's what we're doing all the time. Failing to realize I'm making the whole thing up all the time.
Oh, gosh, that's also so helpful. Well, because what I just saw with that pointed another thing I've been experiencing, which is when then in my experience, so there's the ego trying to make these alliances, and then if you're paying attention, there's that bad moment for ego where it's like, I'm out of the alliances. In other words, what it feels like is this place of like,
I just realized I don't agree with anyone.
kind of like a what is this world anyway? Are there any good people? And I think it really, as you say that, I've never seen that before, but I think that's a moment for the separate self of going, it's in trouble almost, because if the human being sees through that process, of course, the jig is completely up.
Yes, and which was my point, that there's then no reason to worry about anything that anybody's doing,
yeah.
Right? Because all that's happening is I get to see what goes on with me under those circumstances, which is where you got to.
Yeah.
Go ahead, do that a couple more times because I'm not quite sure where I'm going with this. But something in here gets really wacky when you do that.
Yeah.
So I'd like to get clear about what that is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it's shockingly hard to get clear about it because those are things that feel so real.
Yes, although the comforting part is we actually don't need to get clear about it.
Uh-huh.
All we need to do is come back here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it all ceases to be an issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of it ceases to be an issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we go right back out there again because I gotta be me, as the old song says.
Gotta be me. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so good. Rebecca.
So the place where the jitters, where it's like, oh my God, I'm at the end of the line here. You know, I think that's the place of, if it's not there, it's really approaching having suffered enough. Or maybe it's more like, I'm out of options, you know? And to me, that's where I feel a lot of the time. When that system is playing it out, and I can feel that pull, to go there and be the illusion of a separate self, but there's something that still really always comes back to, I know that doesn't ever lead anywhere. I just know it, you know, because I can play out all the scenarios, and I just know it. It's sort of like, I don't have, are there any good people? I'm out of options. And so, I think the sticking point is that
knowing that doesn't seem to be the impetus to get back here.
Of course not. Of course not. It's the impetus to repeat it. So, I'm a drunk. And every morning I wake up hungover and vow not to drink again. Because I feel like crap. This is really miserable. I hate this. But then the day goes on, and I forget how really crappy I felt this morning. And then I start thinking about having a drink. And the more I think about it, the more that seems like a good idea. I have a drink. By golly, it's a good idea. So I have a few more. And then the next morning I wake up hungover. So, one of the things that we're fond of pointing out is that the reason that we do the things that we do under the influence of ego is that we are, first of all, addicted to ego, and second of all, we're addicted to self-hatred. And so if I don't do the things that are going to result in self-hatred, what's going to happen to me? So, one, you know, we talk about, or I do, one that I think is in the new book, but I'm not sure, somewhere. I really want to lose weight, but I can't. Mm-hmm. Did we talk about that recently?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So, people think, I really want to lose weight, is the issue. It's like, I want to really quit drinking. I really want to lose weight. But the real story is, I want to lose weight, but I can't. And if we don't put the "but I can't" on there, then we don't really have the story. Because the "but I can't" is actually the point. This is just kind of window dressing. It's just sort of, it's the old, oh, I'd love to go to the movies with you, but I need to stay home and wash my hair. Okay, so everything else is just, as soon as I say "but," I'm going to tell you what's really going on. Okay, and it's that same process. So that whole, I don't want to get caught up in that, but I can't help it. It's the "but I can't help it" that's the point. And until we, as long as we're focused on the "I don't want to blah, 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 I don't want to blah, 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 I really don't want to blah, blah, blah," okay, all we're doing is feeding it. As soon as we address the "but I can't," now we're actually looking at the linchpin. Can people see that?
Mm-hmm.
Sort of? Not really? Yeah?
I'm seeing it in theory. I'm not in this moment. It's not landing, but I can see it really clearly in that other example, you know, that I want to lose weight, but I can't.
Yeah, because "but I can't" is not what's being scrutinized. So when I tell people constantly, do something, not to do it, but to see how you're stopped from doing it. So make a commitment, not to keep the commitment. Who cares about the commitment?
Yeah.
It's just a placeholder so that what's revealed is what keeps you from doing it.
Uh-huh.
That's what's controlling your life, not the commitment.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to reveal. So it's not that I want to quit drinking. I need to find out how I get talked into drinking. But I don't pay any attention to that because I've gotten over my self-hatred and feeling bad and being hungover and vowing. And I've made a vow not to drink. I'm never doing that again. So I feel fine. I can just go unconscious and go right on about my life.
It's one of those places where I know that it's just like everything I ever really need to hear, because it, none of it's getting in.
That's okay. I think we have a recording. You can listen to it about 1,000 times, because I can promise you it is. And, you know, the thing, I don't know who it was. Too bad Phil isn't here, but Lord, make me celibate, but not today. That's it. You know, I want to wake up and in suffering, but actually not more than I want to indulge whatever it is that I've got going on right now. And that's the haven't suffered enough. You know, that's not a criticism. It's just helpful. It takes a lot of, if people would just acknowledge, I don't want to stop doing what I'm doing. I want to stop suffering. It's good old Ed. I want to stop suffering. I just don't want to have to give up anything in order to do it. He was so honest that way. Yeah. And so that's the, you know, sometimes I think if people would just admit that, they would very quickly get on the road to, actually, that is not true. I actually do want to. But as long, until we're in that, I'm really trying, but I just, you know, like, I can't, and it's too hard, and I don't understand, and that really is, commitment to non-ending suffering. And I say, well, actually, yeah, I don't think I'm ready. I really don't think it's what I really yeah. So when I was a little kid, my parents did this to me, and now I'm 70 years old, and I'm still going to tell you the story that my life is the way it is because when I was a little kid, my parents did this to me. Now, in society at large, that kind of washes. Mm-hmm. But for a person who actually wants to end suffering, that's not a good story, mm-hmm. right? And so if we say, you know, this must be what I want because this is what I keep choosing. Mm-hmm. In the same way that if I just said, you know, apparently I want to be a drunk. Now maybe at some point I won't, but right now I must because this is what I keep choosing.
And if I can be that honest, at least I can then go on with the suffering until I've suffered enough.
That's right. Well, and especially if a person leaves out the self-hatred. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's my life. If I want to be a drunk, I'll be a drunk. I'm not going to, what's the sense of feeling bad about it? It's not making me quit. It's just destroying my drinking. Until I forget.
Well, and in the way you describe it, it is actually keeping me a drunk.
Oh!
Because, so in a way, let me see if I'm, in a way it's like, if I admit, you know, right now, I'm sorry, I guess I just really want to be a drunk. And
don't even be sorry.
Yeah, right.
Everything about my life says, I want to be a drunk.
Then I can go on with being a drunk in the somewhere awareness, knowing that, you know, ultimately someday maybe I won't be a drunk.
Well, and even to me more important than that is everything that's happening to me is my choice. Because I want to lose weight, but I can't. There's this implication that somehow something is making this happen other than me.
Yeah.
But if I'm not losing weight, it's because I'm doing what causes me not to lose weight. Yeah. It's actually not a mystery, except that I'm pretending that I don't know what the answer is. Yeah. That I'm some... My heart is pure and my intentions are noble, but somehow And so I'm inherently flawed, or I'm just too, I don't know.
I'm a victim.
Well, basically, yes, I am a victim. Because with this kind of pure heart, how I'm not getting what I want, I just don't understand it. Mm-hmm. So
it should be happy.
Clearly God is against me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that last discussion made me re-examine something that happened to me yesterday. And what happened to me yesterday is I got home from work, I pulled out my phone, and I got a text message from someone I work with. And the first line said, "So you were wrong." And then the second line said, "I think we should work together." And then it was a paragraph about what I did wrong. So what dropped in from
me? That's just a heartwarming. Get somebody on your side. Sort of a communication, isn't it?
Sure, right. And, well, initially when I got the text, I got kind of like these physical sensations, like I was being personally attacked, and I was thinking, okay, this could be a good time for, like, awareness practice. So I got headspace for like 5 seconds, and then I just came into this big conversation about me, like, delivering a lecture to her about what it means to be respectful and professional, and basically, like, putting her in her...
Showing her how wrong she is.
Exactly. Right.
Very good.
Very good, exactly.
But tactfully and diplomatically,
sure,
from the right perspective.
Right. Yeah. And at the end, she's gonna say, "Justin, you were so right, and I was so wrong. And that was going to end." So what I was getting at was that last conversation made me re-examine, what I was trying to... Okay, now I'm kind of losing it. That last conversation made me re-examine what exactly my intentions were, and I think I thought that I was trying to apply the awareness practice to that situation, but I really wonder if I wanted the drama of the ego, that kind of drama and the back and forth and the conversation in my head. And I'm just like totally confused now. Like, what exactly did I want there? Did I want to apply the awareness training, or did I want the drama of the ego? And I mean, as I'm saying it, maybe it's not so simple as like one or the other. I think maybe both those things were kind of at play, but I don't know. Maybe
The thing that to me is most helpful about that is you were watching it. Right, you watch what happened when you got the text. You can feel your body starting to go, and then into sort of a defensive mode, and then into a more philosophical. I could point this out to her, and I could this and that, and then of course the fantasy of her coming to her senses and realizing that you were right all along, and she's desperately wrong and needs to learn at your feet.
Exactly.
Like that.
Right.
Yeah. And so to be aware of all that without, because that's awareness practice, right? Just to be aware of all that, and that ordinarily, in almost all cases, awareness practice is not going to give us something to do. Sadly. There might be a suggestion of the direction, but the encouragement would still be the same, and then just see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To just pay attention to what happens so that you can start to see what your motivations are and what happens as a result and how that's received and then what you see later. And, you know, it's just kind of enlarging our understanding, our picture, or whatever it is, of mostly what we're bringing to the situation.
Okay, and just to reflect that, to see that I'm following, so you say that in awareness practice isn't so much what to do, and just to make sure I understand that, so it's not so much, when you say it's not so much what to do, it's not so much my response to the text message, but more seeing kind of what happens and my reactions and feelings towards that.
Yes, exactly so. Because at some point, who knows, you might decide to go all Gandhi on her and say something like, oh, well, that's wonderful. Thank you for that. I'd love to work together.
Mm-hmm.
Confuser. So, but who knows?
Right.
Until you have a chance really to sit still with it. And then whatever you decide to do or not to do, again, the key is to pay attention.
Sure.
Not to reach conclusions or have judgments or any of that, but just to notice.
Okay, and that's interesting hearing that, because part of me wanted to kind of analyze how I reacted during that stress, and it's such a fine line between the analyze and the notice, because I'm taking the stress or the communication in times of stress class, so I wanted to see what my reaction was, and my reaction was I wanted to give this lecture about, you know, how I'm right and she's wrong, and in a way I felt like I wanted to separate myself from her, which was a type 4. But then I'm thinking, like, am I analyzing this too much? Like, is this my ego kind of trying to categorize this? You know, am I really just sitting back and noticing? I don't know.
Well, we have a little kind of a rule of thumb that anything more than two sentences is worth dropping.
Okay.
So when the conversation, the head gets started, you realize, okay, I spent way too much time on this.
Yeah.
I'm just going to come back to the breath and let's sit again.
Okay.
And then it'll come back in again. Well, yeah, but, you know, she, blah, 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 blah. And you go, okay, go right back to the breath.
Okay, two sentences. I'm excited to try.
Yeah, Scott.
So when you were talking to Rebecca and, you know, the lose weight but I can't, well, what I was seeing as a process is there's this practice I've been doing, and as you were talking, it sort of expanded the light around the example. Like literally, like there was more light around. And so I've been looking at communication and what stops me from communicating, and specifically around writing emails. And I was doing this intervention to kind of get a better idea of what was going on, which is when I sit down at the computer, I write down what the voices are saying because I wasn't really clear.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing that kind of goes in, so then there's that, and it's like, oh, okay. And then I turn my attention to writing, and I'm to assist to be here, I have an internal conversation with the mentor,
mm-hmm.
So I'm in a privileged environment. And so it might be things like I'm typing away, and there's something flags me, and then I say in my head, I noticed something. And the mentor says, oh, what did you see? I said, something about this feels off. Well, tell me about it. Well, it kind of feels like I'm trying to explain myself. And you don't really do that here. No. So would you like to change that? Yeah. Okay. And so that will work. Well, actually. And
I was just going to the Hafiz, you know, the two of you going to the market and picking out the groceries,
yeah,
and coming back and cooking dinner. Uh-huh. And
was that a chuckle? Just like,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
The light.
Sitting
and
there
and
having the...
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and so it was like I had a moment of like this whole thing around communication has become a whole thing in itself,
mm-hmm.
that I have to overcome, and it's getting in the way of my life, and it's getting in the way of my monastic practice, and really just gotta
buckle down, get over that.
And so here was something that was pretty simple. I mean, it was a progression, you know, it was an unfolding, and I got to that place and a lot of support, and it's like, what's the big deal? I'm going to do this rest of our life with any content. And then I noticed that that when we were talking, that there's been a conversation of like, yeah, but I can't maintain that. And like, there's so many times where it goes back. And so then it's like, well, you know, I should bring it to group. And there's this thing I just can't see, Sherry, about where I keep getting pulled back in. And I just saw that's not me.
Uh-huh.
Like there, because when all of a sudden it was sort of, well, what's the big deal? We could do this with anything. We could be totally free. It was like, whoa. Then who?
Let's not get carried away.
Who would I be? What would we talk about?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there would be no limits in your life, and you could just be, no, hold on, let's make it a problem again. I mean, but I'm an awareness practice student, so let's frame it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like me.
Uh-huh.
And I think, well, I've been seeing that a lot, but that was interesting to see it again in
mm-hmm.
something that seems sort of legitimate.
Yes. Well, and I would imagine for a long time that, well, but I can't maintain that, would be completely believable.
Yeah, because, well, I can't.
Look at my experience. Mm-hmm. I never have been able to, and not have that be one of those big red flags that, oh, that's what's actually being maintained with this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, it fits right into the story about, I mean, you just have all this talent, but you just can't seem to just fall in, and you're such a disappointment, you know. Yeah. So it's just that one little, I can't maintain this, has got like a lifetime of stories to back it up.
Yes.
Although it doesn't say that.
No, it does, and it doesn't have to.
No, but I can feel, actually, when you go to the identity of totally. But I mean, I'll just keep trying.
Yeah.
But that guy has no intention of getting
that's
out
right.
of being him.
That's right. Because that's the whole thing. I really want to, and I'm really trying, but.
Okay, now we're gonna.
Yeah. But keep going, because that's the. But
it's not gonna work. I mean, it's been a pretty good life. I mean, even if you don't get much better, then
it hasn't been that.
I mean, then,
but it could be better.
It could be.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. A lifetime in that conversation with slightly different content.
Yeah. Yeah. You could have been. Yeah. It is that. I want to.
Could have been a contender.
Can I just say something really quick to you about what Jen was talking about? So, the kitchen is the best. It is the karmic cooker.
Yeah. If a monastery only had a kitchen, it would be enough.
Feudal
hermitages and a kitchen. Everything would happen.
Yeah, you do need to step out at some point, or you might, ego just explode right in the middle there. But
Scott.
Yeah,
that might not be a bad thing.
Yeah, the pressure cooker. The pressure cooker. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was just seeing how that process of putting attention on quote someone else and their behavior, and that we can't say anything. We have agreed not to say anything. Has been like that could change a life. Mm-hmm. Because that's been going on for a long time, and often I've been so grateful because every time if you actually say something to somebody, and I watch myself do it as soon as I'm out of the village environment, like around my family, I can feel the pressure building, and then just,
I have to say it!
And as soon as that happens, everything becomes real. Like the person comes into form, and that person comes into form, and then there's a and then there's a conversation about what just happened, and them, and me. Mm-hmm. But if it's inside, what I've especially noticed lately, and you don't say anything, it starts to burn itself out. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think, doing awareness practice helps to, to do that. You start to realize that's happening here.
Yeah, somebody in the email class just had a spontaneous combustion with that one it sounded like the first time just staying with sensations. Mm-hmm. And they went away. Mm. And it was like, oh my God, I think I'm onto something here. Which is what you're describing.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't say anything, it really ceases to be fun pretty quickly.
That's true.
That's
right, because the pressure is ego saying, get it out here, get me going.
Yeah.
And if you don't respond to that, pressure, but then after a while, it can't maintain that.
No.
And then it just kind of burns out, and then actually what I've been noticing lately is there's some self-conscious about it. Like, I'll look at the person and I'm like, they're so sweet. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm so grateful for them. You know, just to kind of own that it's sort of like attention on ego, but I'm going to stay here with it. It can't maintain itself. It falls apart, and then what is sweetness and goodness.
Yes. Yeah. And there's that, I don't even know where I ever got this, but wrong point. That rage and compassion are right next to each other, which is certainly my experience, and that again is what you're describing.
Uh-huh.
That all that is to keep you from realizing that there's all that sweetness. And so how am I going to maintain myself if there's not somebody, something to be in opposition to? You know, if I'm just feeling sweet and everybody's sweet and...
My form is dissolving.
Yeah.
And then the last, like, humorous thing is when I'm in that conversation, I'm like, no, I'm unconscious.
Oh, yeah.
And once in a while, like, go think, think, and, like, I'll look around and watch my little trail of,
So, yeah.
There's a towel, there's that thing not put away, there's a pot that's burning and smelling. It's like, okay, thank you for that.
Yes, that's a great moment. And, you know, I think we don't get to see that until we're ready. Uh-huh. Now, I mean, maybe before we're ready, we see it and it turns into a bunch of self-hatred. But that, I'm sure I've said this any number of times, but my favorite of that is driving, where I'm just about somebody, and I do something that is just, I just want to go, but you know, they think about me, what I was just saying about that person, it's like, oh, darn. It's so humbling.
It is so humbling, and there's a sweetness in that, too, actually.
Yeah, because we're also human.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So quiet. I want to participate in
no reason not.
No reason. So much is said tonight. I can still relate to the, if everybody could just get their act together. And we just
I bet, because the kitchen is kind of yours.
Yeah.
Right? And all these people. Your kitchen.
Yeah. Not doing it my way, and it's like intense. And I was just with a family member, and I had that experience of that, I wanted to do a Dharma talk. You know, I just knew.
Sit down there. Cross your legs. Go ahead, just cross your legs.
I did everything.
Got to help you out here.
I'm totally going to fix your life. I know exactly what you should do. And that building, and just through the grace of God, that didn't happen. And I realized that the talk needed to be happening here.
I'm going to sit down.
What I really needed to do is pick up the recorder and give myself that talk. Mm-hmm. Because it was so, it was just so up that, you know, there was so much passion behind it. And guess who? Mm-hmm. You know, it was...
Well, and isn't that great to see? Because there's all that passion. If you had delivered that talk, one guess is it would have fallen completely flat, right? And then you would have felt terrible.
Yeah.
It would have created a ha-ha with your family member.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have had the benefit of that talk, being the person who really needed to have that talk.
Yeah.
And that's what that system is always going for, right? Get you to take that impulse and turn it into something that is going to eventually be used against you.
Yeah, it just would have created so much more separation than not have been of a benefit to anybody. And, you know, as I talked about it myself, you know, and all that passion came up, and I did realize it was just for this human being. Mm-hmm. It was just...
Well, and again, that goodness, right? Mm-hmm. Because there it is in you, right? And it is for you, but you want to share it with somebody that you care about, that you really do see as suffering.
Yeah.
It's just, it wouldn't be helpful.
Gosh darn it all. Yeah, you know, it's a tough one to get. I don't know if this, it's just about maintaining the I, you know. I just see in this class on stress, which has been amazing, it's been so helpful
have it laid out, like, you know, by types and, you know, recognizing myself there and like, really, I'm not special. You know, this is, you know, this is...
Well, even, and so there are all the types, right? So you see all the other types that are your type. And then you start seeing all these other types, and they seem to have all the same thing going on, too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's slightly different ways of handling it or whatever, but it's basically all the same.
It's all the same. And that's what I was just looking at, and I just realized how the eye is held together with stress. Mm-hmm. It's totally held together with stress. I mean, there was just like, if there wasn't that stress... What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
It's like, you know...
Right. I mean, we would just be left with nothing to do but enjoy life.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah.
If that weren't going all the time with something wrong, making something wrong.
Yeah.
That you would just enjoy life.
It's so funny. I mean, I didn't quite know that I understood what you were saying, but you were talking with someone on the radio show about having an experience before it actually...
Well, this morning, I was trying to think of that quote, and Sister Phil came on to give me the name of the saint, and then I said, I think it's a rheostat or something like that, and Michael came on and said, yes, that's what it is, and I just knew that when the next person came on, they were going to be somebody who would tell me whether or not that was what it's called.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, the day before, I was having this, like, I'm held better by stress. But I don't know what to do if there was stress.
It's kind of scary to let go.
It's kind of scary to let go of it all. But the morning before that, I woke up in a most amazing mood that doesn't usually happen. It was like I got a glimpse of what it would be like to live not held together with stress, I think. Because it just woke up like, whoa, I can't wait to engage. You know, I just like want to engage with everything, and I just wanted to be with life, and I wanted to, you know, just I just wanted to
like being three again.
It's like being three. It was
time to put on all my clothes and some of them.
Yeah, like everything. It was like everything was just.
So exciting.
It's so exciting. And everything, you know, after years of waking up and thinking, oh God, what do I have to do today? You know, it was the flip side of that. It's just like, oh boy, what do I do today? I can't wait, I can't stand it. I gotta, you know, and so it just felt like there was kind of an experience of what'd be available.
Yes, so you're putting those together, right? Mm-hmm. So that insight occurred to you, and with that insight occurring, also came an opening to having an experience of what it would be like if that weren't the case.
Right.
Yeah, that those arose together.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I mean, that's like...
I think it's super interesting.
Like I got to see what was in the present.
Yes.
Before I
had
the insight about what, anyway. Mm-hmm. So.
And again, I think what you're pointing at is that opening.
Mm-hmm.
So, one of our favorites, ask and you shall receive.
Yeah.
Seek and you'll find.
Yeah.
Knock and it'll be open.
Huh.
Yeah. I mean, that's what that experience is.
Yeah.
That's what people are talking about.
Yeah. I mean, when you say that, I mean, that I just am so drawn to that. I mean...
Because intuitively, you know the truth of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, people are living the truth of it.
Mm-hmm.
People are getting exactly what they're asking for. We all are, all the time.
Yeah.
People are affirming their life experience all the time. And we've had some examples of it in language this evening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, but I can't. You know, well,
that's it. That we're affirming that.
Yeah. Yeah. What do
I have to do today?
Oh my God, what's on my to-do list for today?
Now that, is that going to be a good time? No.
No.
And it's not because there's anything inherently not fun about a to-do list.
Yeah.
But with that kind of approach to it, it's not going to be a good time.
Yeah. No. No. Mm-hmm.
And again, one other thing before I let you all go to bed. If we could really get in a moment how soon we're going to be dead mm-hmm. and for how long, mm-hmm. there is no way that we would miss a second of being here for this. Mm-hmm. But people affirm that, oh God, another day. Mm-hmm. Oh God. And get that life held together by stress. Right? Because we don't believe it. We don't get it. We don't, at the same point that people live in terror of dying, living as if this is just going to go on forever. I was looking at now, some of you who live here don't know this, some of you who live out in the world do know this, but there was another school shooting today. Mm-hmm. And to have this bizarre thought that, yeah, but only two kids died.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I was just looking at, I mean, I don't know anything about them. But I project, it's probably something kind of like this. Their families got up this morning. And they were just doing whatever families do in the morning, right? And just expecting, you know, this is just another day. Maybe the parents didn't really want to go to work, or somebody had this going on or that, and their money issues, and they're all this, and they got these teenagers, and God knows they're annoying. Hmm. And then all of a sudden, their lives are just never going to be the same. And it's happening just as we've been sitting here this evening, just all over the world and all kinds of circumstances, situations. And so to indulge for a moment, now I'm not saying, you know, there's anything wrong with us if we do, because we're deeply, heavily conditioned to that orientation, but to just realize, my God, what we have. You know, that what we have, what's possible for us, what's available to us, and just, I mean, even if it's miserable, right? Even if you got that text, right? To realize, yeah, but I'm alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm alive. And for that to be just as grateful as we can be in any given moment. And mostly to be cognizant of it. You know, even if we're not grateful for it, just to be aware that to let that system kind of put us to sleep and have us get lost in some rumination about some horse pucky something or other, rather than being here. So. All right. Thank you so much.